Never a Word podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Yay! Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 174 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom indeed, folks. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Going to be awesome. Comedian Dana Gould will be joining us here in just a moment. This is an older show. We recorded this a while ago. For reasons nobody will come to the backyard during the holidays, we are going to replay this one. This was a really a strange one. Should we go into the backstory? Some of you may know the backstory of this show, of the Dana Gould show. Some of you may not. Dana came over a while back, when we were doing this from the dining room. The dining room, man. Came over during the holidays. It was about the same time of year as it is now. And recorded the show. We had just found out, like 5 minutes prior to him showing up, that my grandfather had died. My dear grandfather, the late, the great James Earl Roden, had passed away. We were with my grandfather, 10 minutes prior to finding out that he had died. It was weird. It was really weird. And, you know, I wrestled with, possibly canceling the show, and calling off the great Dana Gould from coming to the house, but my grandma insisted that we just on with the show. She said, "On with the show." Grandpa would have wanted it that way, so it was a little awkward at first, but nonetheless, it was a good conversation. So we'll be playing that for you, man. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Mine was good. It was weird. It was good though. I think I've had I'm having trouble with it right now. I've had perpetual heartburn ever since Thanksgiving ended, and I didn't even eat that much on Thanksgiving night. I didn't overeat, and here's a problem, because the younger kids that are in my family are now teenagers, and they are stealing all the food. They said they took one of the kids. He's 13 years old. He took a whole leg to the turkey. That's not fair, man. I told him so too. I was like, that's not cool. You can't take the whole leg, because first of all, he didn't eat all of it either, but he ate it like a drumstick, and so nobody else wanted to touch it after that, of course. But you can't take the whole fucking leg, man. God, what a dick. 13-year-olds, man. I'm not looking forward to having that in the house, right? It was a good Thanksgiving. I will say though that my grandma went out on a limb, and she made some she tweaked some of the staples a little bit. I am not into this. I am not into this at all. The turkey was great. Turkey was awesome. They did this whole brine thing, they brined the turkey and then cooked it the next day. It was great. It was juicy, salty. It was good. But she did a little something different. First of all, we didn't have mashed potatoes. Not cool. We had scalloped potatoes, which are good, but you need the staples, right? You need mashed potatoes. And then with the stuffing. So this is what she did to the stuffing. She put cranberries in it and walnuts. What the fuck? I wanted to scream. I wanted to scream, you guys. I was not happy. I don't like it when you mess with the classics on a holiday. You just got to go with the staples. Why mess with it? It's one day out of the year, right? One day out of the year that you just have to, you know, buckle down and you know, don't get fancy, right? Turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, and stuffing. That's it. That's it. Just make those same four things and everything will be fine. Everybody will be happy, right? You don't fuck with it. I'm sorry, I'm saying the F word a lot today. I apologize. But you don't mess with the staples. Don't mess with the staples, man. And then your leftovers are great. God, barely got any leftovers this year, too. Man. I am thankful for... Kind of whiny this week, aren't I? Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, regardless, I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. I know I did. And we took a week off there because, like I said, I've been dealing with, like, really bad heartburn. And as I said earlier, too, like, I didn't eat that much on Thanksgiving night. But ever since then, I have been an eating machine. And part of that, I think, is because I quit smoking. I have been a non-smoker now for 2.5 months. Maybe three months. And this time around, I have not folded once. I have not said to myself, okay, you've been doing a great job. Why don't you go ahead and have a puff off of somebody's smoke? Or why don't you go ahead and have a smoke? I have not gone down that road. This is the first time in 20 years. I've been a smoker for 20 years, folks. This is the first time in 20 years that I have not allowed myself to have a smoke while trying to quit. And I think it's like, because I've been on Chantix again. I've been on the pill, if you will. And I have not allowed myself to, you know, get drunk and just go for it. Like I've gotten drunk. And I just haven't given myself the leeway of sneaking a smoke, which is great. I'm doing awesome. I'm so happy. But I think I'm less healthy now than I was when I was a smoker because I've been eating like a fucking madman. Oh, Jesus. I don't know what it is. I mean, it's been after Thanksgiving. So, I mean, I've been, you know, I've quit for longer than that. But holy shit, man, ever since Thanksgiving, I have had a lot of trouble keeping stuff out of my mouth. That sounds really bad. But like I said, I think I'm like less healthy now than when I was a smoker. Like my cholesterol is probably just through the fucking roof. Like I've had like these weird cravings for like, Kentucky Fried Chicken and just really bad stuff. McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. You know, sausage egg McMuffins with cheese. Ah, God. And I just been going through every day, just like sloth, slovenly, because I eat lunch. I eat some heavy effing lunch and then I just feel like crap. Yeah, not good, man. Not good stuff. what a great segue into what we're doing next weekend, right? Having a fantastic hearty breakfast. At Naked City Brewery and Tap House there on Greenwood Avenue North here in North Seattle, at 8564 Greenwood Avenue North. Hey, Naked City Brewery, they have this great room, right? It's called the Screening Room. Big old screen in there. We're gonna be watching the Seahawks game. They're playing the New York Giants over in New Jersey. And we're going to get there at around 9 a.m. and post up on some of the, you know, super comfortable couches and some of the great tables there. And we're going to eat breakfast at Naked City Brewery and watch the game. So why don't you come and join us? It's totally free. It's going to cost you something to get breakfast and drink some beers early in the morning. But it's going to be fun because it's going to be totally chill. We're just going to sit back, enjoy the game, enjoy each other's company. And drink some booze, drink some beers early in the morning. How does that sound? It sounds great, right? So come out and hang out with us at Naked City Brewery and Tap House there in Greenwood, here in Seattle. It's gonna be fun, guys. I hope you guys can make it. We'll enjoy some good beer, enjoy each other's company. It's nothing big, right? We're not doing anything special. We're just hanging out and showing Naked City that the listeners to Air Raid are coming out, and that you know, they're putting they're making a good investment here with Air Raid, right? Yeah. Hey, by the way, you can also go to Facebook and like Naked City, and then follow them on Twitter as well. As well as us, you can do that as well. We really appreciate it. Because, let me tell you this. Got a couple of emails from people saying, hey, where's the show this week? You know, when I didn't post a show last week. And I said, hey, I made the announcement on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow us there. That's where all the news comes in, right? Easier to do it there. So, yeah, you know, like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, and then you get all the updates. All the updates, guys. God darn it. We're running out of time here. Maybe I'll save this. I'll save this for next week. I'll save the big news for next week. We got big news. Big news, guys, on the Air Raid front. It's not going to affect the show, but it's just big news. That we're super, super happy about. So we'll announce that next week on an all-new episode of Air Raid. But right now, let's get to it, shall we? Let's talk with Dana Gould. But first, let's listen to some Young Evils, one of our favorites. And then we'll talk with a very, very funny man, Dana Gould from Seinfeld. You may remember him from Seinfeld. Fragile Frankie Merman or the Summer George. Yeah, yeah, that's right. He was also a writer for The Simpsons for, my God, like 10 years. And he wrote for Conan and everything like that. Very, very funny man. He's got a new album out, so go check that out. Type his name into Google. Find out all about it. Dana Gould. Yeah, funny dude. Okay, let's get to it, shall we? This is The Young Evils, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. With special guest today, or this week, Dana Gould. All right, be back in a moment, folks. We'll take our chances over just repeating, being what we've been and what we find. Let's state our case and let's erase the face of holding on to something when the one thing that it's holding is time. A golden era, a pair of lovers trying to figure out the doubt that's to lead to glasses of wine, and we'll watch them run, run, run to glory on a dust-filled beaming light. We'll take their chances over just repeating, being what they've been and what they find. All right, we are back, and joining me in Dining Room Studios, high above the Greenwood neighborhood here in North Seattle, is comedian, writer, producer, avid tweeter, dumpster hater, Dana Gould. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much.
Hi. Every podcast I do, they throw that in my face.
The dumpster tweet.
That was also the day I decided to do my own, by the way, just so everyone is...
Right. Yeah. You were telling me a little bit about this. Let's start with that, because actually I was going to ask you, that was going to be like my intro question. Mm-hmm. You are like a professional podcast
guest.
Guest. And, you know, you're always on Adam Carolla's show.
Yeah.
You've been on WTF with Marc Maron. And
The Nerdist.
When are you going to do your own show?
Well,
because I think it'd be really good.
Well, I have some ideas to make it interesting and not just and something unique. I mean, I want the two things happened at the same time. I have been working for years on a big movie for Universal Studios, a big tentpole
really
movie that would have been a franchise, and I worked on it for about 2.5 years.
This is writing?
Yeah.
You're writing?
Well, I wrote
the movie?
The script, and I wrote about 37 drafts of the script.
Transformers, what, five?
Six? Along those lines. Okay. I'll tell you what it is off air. And we finally were ready, and then it went through the food chain, and They went, well, we can either make this one or this one, and we're going to, you know, it was basically we can start this franchise or do the second installment of this franchise. Yeah. We can't do both. We're going to do the second installment. So it was basically 2 years of a lot of work every day up in smoke. I mean, I did get a check, but it was just, and it was like, God. And for all of that time,
yeah,
I could have put into something that would have reached the public.
Right, right.
And right at that time, I was on The Nerdist, and then I was working in Atlanta at a really great comedy club called The Laughing Skull.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a lot of feedback from both events of like, you should do a podcast, you should do a podcast, you should do a podcast.
Yeah.
So I started thinking about it seriously, like, well, how can I do it so that I can do what I do and not have it just be me jaw-jacking for an hour?
Right.
And I came up with a couple of ideas. I have some really talented people that are willing to go and do it with me. And so I decided, okay, I'll throw my hat into the ring. I'm going to give it, you know, as I said, like you give it a, allow it to grow.
Uh-huh.
But I'm very excited about the ability now, because of technology, to make your own show business.
Right, right.
You know, you can you can build your own career. You can have a podcast. You develop an audience. You publicize it on your Twitter feed and Facebook to a lesser degree. People join in and you get a groundswell of support. You can go on the road and do the podcast live. People come to that show.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you take, you know, then you say to HarperCollins, I have 200,000, you know, dedicated listeners. I'd like to write a book of essays.
Yeah,
I'll go,
yeah.
And some of them will buy it. Absolutely. Great. And now, and everything that you do goes back into your own business.
Right.
You know, and
there is something to be said though for like, I mean, you know, you've got name recognition too. So
yeah.
You've got.
I've been doing it a long time.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. You've been. You know. You've been.
I'm older than dirt, and I have more scars than Frankenstein.
And from the cut that we played at the beginning of the show, you're apparently a condom full of walnuts.
Exactly.
That you inherited from your father.
Look at me.
Well, when I saw that, I was actually like, "Man, we've got a lot in common. This is great. This is great."
The Fred Flintstone build.
Right. Yeah. 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 Pear, upside down pear shape.
I have the same shadow as Fred Flintstone.
Tie and all. Yeah. Right.
My whole fitness goal has always been look good enough in clothes that by the time you get your shirt off, they feel too sorry for you to run screaming from the room.
Right. 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 My whole philosophy was just like, just drug one and then marry her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just imagine me with clothes on. Yeah, it's the reverse of speaking.
Right.
It's the reverse of public speaking. Imagine I'm dressed.
Don't break eye contact.
Don't look away. I was once a beautiful baby.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Pull those pictures out. Yeah. But there is something to be said.
Think of
God,
me as a baby.
Terrible.
Think of me as a baby. Think of me as a baby all night.
You'd have to find a very willing woman for that. I guess,
I'm sure there are hundreds of thousands on a web group somewhere.
And you'll find out about them now that you're going to do a podcast. You'll get emails. Right. So there is something to be said about like you know, doing this kind of thing on your own. I mean, with things like Facebook and Twitter.
And to do something interesting, like you know,
right?
Chris Hardwick, Paul F. Tompkins, Mark Maron, Adam Carolla. These guys are all my friends.
Right, right.
You know, they're like I go on their show, but I go on the show because I've known them for decades.
Yeah,
they're,
and they're easy to talk to. It's basically just like chatting with a. With
but
a
I want to be able to also have dinner with them and look them in the eye. Like,
right,
I did my own thing. I came late to the, you know, I came after you, but I wanted to do my own thing. I'm very, very enamored of all of those guys and how they really carved something out that they made unique. I think that's really impressive, and it's my favorite thing about show business. I mean, I'm not a person that I like to make stuff. You know, I've always chose the creative route over the money power route.
Right. Right.
And for better and for worse. And but it's I like to make stuff, and I'm at ease. I have no problem with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you think that philosophy?
It's just me farting. That I'm gonna just say it. The show is just me farting.
You and a fart machine.
Yeah,
and sound
me and
drops.
A fart machine. I have a bell that I ring, and, yeah, and it goes, and I think I can fill
perfect.
The hour.
You know, if you well, I mean, you could really make that into you. That'd be a niche podcast.
Sure. Well, you know,
because
FM,
you could just use all sorts of handheld gizmos,
right.
to make those.
Well,
make
every
those
big
sounds.
City has that the wacky morning team.
It's right, right.
A man's name and then an inanimate object. It's right, always, right. you know, Barry and the duck call or whatever it is.
yeah,
Scooter
yeah.
and chainsaw, and I want to be just the chainsaw dude. And it's just like, and the whole show is me going, "Am I right?
Am I? Yeah.
Hey, that's worse than Congress." And just leave out the other
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, you need to work on your radio voice, though. I think.
Well, there's several. There's that guy. Oh, that's worse than Congress. Or NPR.
Yeah.
NPR is amazing because you could do a show on NPR about an incredibly graphic, grotesque thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
because you're in NPR, that mood sinks into your head.
Right. And it still sounds smart.
Yeah. But that mood sinks into your head and... You start to talk. So, you were at a bukkake that was completely populated by clowns. Tell me about that. Well, clown bukkake is something that we started in college.
It's a small group.
It's a small group of clowns.
Very friendly people.
And one very unlucky clown.
Oh, my God.
Who had that idea
well,
first?
Well, it's like, yeah, NPR, too.
I've got an
like,
idea. No, you don't.
you can either listen to NPR to get smarter, or you can listen to it to help you go to sleep.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
2 hours of Bolivian rhino farts coming up on Thought Patterns. I hate that crap.
Oh, my God.
I hate that crap.
Oh, that's hilarious. So
one of the pro things that we're going to do on my show is I have... rotating bits that are pre-recorded, you know,
yeah,
kind of,
yeah.
like, and one of them is Seth Bosch jazz soundscapes, and it's just this really pretentious jazz, modern jazz DJ,
right, right,
but interspersed with his father talking about his childhood and how his
God.
Father utterly missed him. Seth seemed to enjoy having the other children hit him in the throat and back of his neck. And then cutting back to Chaz, I hated it. He never understood me. I think we can do something.
Now, is that a play on your own family life right there? Or is...
No, it's sort of my salute to Lars Ulrich's misunderstanding father and Metallica's
some kind of monster. You know,
I think you should take the tape and burn it.
Oh, my God. I just watched that, too.
That's
know?
Amazing. That documentary is, to me, the best movie about marriage. Because it really is. They're in a band, but it's a marriage. And it's
right.
Like,
well, they're seeing a counselor for the whole time through the... And how much did that counselor want to be involved with writing those songs? That's where things started to get
I'm working on
I'm
working on a show based on that premise for FX.
Oh, my God.
I guess I can announce it because it's the deals are done. Dave Grohl is producing it.
Oh, no
me.
Shit.
And it's a comedy about a counselor that gets involved with a band.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, again, this is just a script. So
this
might be all you ever hear of it. But in this situation, he's actually, it's sort of a cross between the Metallica situation and the Beach Boys' Brian Wilson situation with Dr. Eugene Landy, where the therapist is actually more fucked up than the band. I think that's a great combo. I think there's a lot of meat there for comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a band is like a married couple. And, you know, it's like,
especially one that's been around for that long.
Yeah.
And
you can't just walk away.
Too. Right.
You have
right.
to deal with this problem.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, you're married. I'm married. And
yeah.
I assume you're married or living certainly as a married person.
I pay her to be here. Yeah.
That's a good gig. You know, you can't just leave. You're not dating anymore.
Right.
You've
got
to work through this crap.
Yeah.
That's the funniest stuff. That's the funniest stuff.
You know? Well, man, so is that it? The deals are done?
The deals are done.
Yeah.
And now I start writing.
Okay.
But I could just do that this year.
Yeah.
But if it's some guy up the chain goes, nah, it's another year up in smoke.
Right.
You know,
right.
it's like, I really want to sort of do stuff that people get.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your experience doing, you know, show business then a little bit.
I'm in show business.
Yeah. Like producing shows. I mean, I'm getting the sense that when these projects come up and you have an idea, something gets, you know, pseudo greenlit, mm-hmm. and then you start the process of creating this or refining this idea.
Yeah.
That you want to put on television or into a movie.
I'll give you a great story. Like, yeah. I'll give you a great story. Yeah, and it's one of the reasons that I'm enamored of the sort of make your own show business world.
Yeah.
Which I think is, I like it because it's, for lack of a better term, punk.
Yeah.
No, it's
basically
like, we don't need Arista Records. We don't need to sign to Sire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what Black Flag and all those guys were doing. It's mm-hmm. just like, fuck it. We'll do it ourselves. We don't need you.
Yeah.
I really love that. 2 years ago, I did a special on Showtime called Let Me Put My Thoughts in You. And I told a lot of stories about my being a father for the first time and comparing it to my own experiences as a son to my father.
Right.
And an executive at Warner Brothers Television saw it, called me up, said, come on in. I want to talk to you about that. I saw that special. I think that's a show. I think you should write that as a pilot for a sitcom.
Uh-huh.
And I went, no. Because that's my first response to everything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to blow you. No. And my agent talked me into doing it. So thank you, Larry. I wrote it. And we made it as a pilot. It got picked up. And uh-huh. we made it, and it was a pilot for last fall.
Yeah.
You know, they spent $1 million.
Were you proud of it?
Yeah, it was great. I played me. Brian Dennehy played my father.
Oh, really?
Trailer Howard from Monk played my wife. And we had kid actors, and they spent a ton of money. And
yeah.
It came out great and was really proud of it. And at the end of it, they went, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're going to do this, whatever show they picked up. I don't even know what it was. Tin Full of Biscuits or Fart Hospital.
And, Whitney.
That was NBC. I can't blame Whitney. And it didn't get picked up. So again, it's just like, but that's how show business works.
Yeah.
You know,
is it soul crushing each time, or are you used to it now?
I should be used to it.
Yeah.
But I don't, that was really personal. I mean, that was about that was me writing a show starring me, playing me.
Uh-huh.
With my wife and my father, and it was very. And when it didn't get picked up, it was kind of a kick in the balls.
Right.
But again, it was more just for the fact that people don't get to see it. You know, there's not a place where you can at least show it. You know, it's just like tough break. And there are people like, Judd Apatow, who will just like, oh, that sucks. I'll do this tomorrow. I'll start this tomorrow.
Right.
Like they just. And I'm much more like, oh fuck, I gotta sit in the tub. Jack off for a couple of months. Get this out of my system.
Well, there's more than a couple of months of porn out there.
I'm
going to
sit in this tub
internet.
And jack off, and I'm not going to leave till it's full. Please just play that clip over and over.
I will.
That should be my
Actually,
answer to every
gonna
question
be, that's
in
gonna
this
be,
interview.
That's going to be a new sound drop at the beginning of each show.
Interesting choice.
Jack off in
interesting
this,
choice of words.
I'm going to masturbate into this bathtub until it's full. And it may take months.
Yeah. And I'm not ragging on Judd. I'm saying Judd has a much better work ethic than I do as well.
Right. Well, yeah. And it's always, that's always been a point of curiosity for me too, is like, you know, because you always hear comedians, especially on Mark Maron's podcast, which I'm a huge fan of.
Uh-huh.
You know, he always gets in to it with his guests about.
Yeah, he's good like
you
that.
Know, where is this coming from? And, you know, are you a very self-destructive person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people are, you know, most in the beginning of his show.
And then when the guest comes on, he says.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I love Mark. I've known him since he was. Christ, 18.
Yeah, long haired and coked up.
He's always looked the same. I mean, he's always. I think when you know people that long,
right. Yeah, they don't change too much. Yeah, in your mind. But there's always like, you know, comedians that are very sour mm-hmm. about where they're at today.
Yeah,
you know, things like that. I mean, does that.
I think it's everybody. I think there are shoe salesmen that are very sour about where they're at today, too.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it seems like that's very prevalent in the comedy world.
Yeah.
Right. And it seems it and what I'm getting at, I guess, in a very roundabout way here.
Circuitous.
Yes. Very circuitous route.
The circuitous cast.
Hey, that's a good one. Maybe that should.
I'll run my potential titles by you.
There you go. There you go. It always seems so soul crushing, and I am always curious as to why people have stuck with it. You know,
well,
why
you don't
not?
Do
why
it.
Not?
I don't think you do it by choice. I think you know. Right. You have to do this.
Desperation.
Like, yeah. What? You know. No. I was a stand-up for years. I started doing stand-up when I was 17 years old.
Really.
And I was a stand-up for years, and then after I'd been doing it for. I started when I was 17, so after I've been doing it about 18 years, and mm-hmm. I was pretty well established. You know, I'd been on a sitcom, I'd been on Seinfeld, I had
right,
specials,
right.
And I was just about to get married and kind of bored, and I got an offer to write on The Simpsons,
mm-hmm.
and I took it, and I stayed there for about 7 years, and had a great time and learned how to write and got. People thought I was a genius because I worked on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I didn't have to be one, but I really fell away from performing just by the sense of I was working every day.
Yeah.
Very hard. And I was married and I had a house and a wife and we started having kids and it was a nice era. I get to play like a normal guy. I went to work in the morning.
Had a day job.
I went to work in the morning. I came home at night. I had vacation weeks. And, but I really, I think the longest I ever went without doing stand up was about 6 weeks. And then I would have to go out and do a set someplace.
So what was it for you then? Explain that to me.
Just felt like I just got to do it or I go crazy. Some
really?
People have to golf. Some people have to surf.
Yeah, yeah.
I really have to go on and do it. And I think most good comedians are like that. Uh-huh. And they're not, they're not good because they're like that. They're not like that because they're good. They're good because they're like that.
Right, right.
That was the correct way to say that. It's a, yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, hey, let's go to our second musical break. And when we get back, we're going to talk to...
We're going to get in this tub.
Yeah, we're going to get into the bathtub and see how much we can fill that thing
years.
Up.
I bet we could figure it out.
Yeah. Do you want to just skip your show tonight and we'll just work on that?
Well, let's get at it.
The Dana Gould, Aaron Roden project.
We get a lot of hits,
right?
I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
We wouldn't get a lot of handshakes.
No, nobody would want to touch us ever again, including our wives.
Yeah.
This is Crazy People by the Young Evils.
Most especially.
Right. This is Crazy People by the Young Evils, and we will be back with more of the Air Raid podcast in just a while. All right, we are back. That was the Young Evils with Crazy People. And you can see them. They're going to be playing the Chop Suey on January 14th.
The young evils were the people that killed the young fresh fellows.
Right. Yeah, yeah. They took their seat at the table. So young fresh fellows, you must be a music fan.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a Seattle band.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Great band too. Yeah,
and now one of them
legendary in these parts.
Yes, as well they should be. And now one of them is in that weird band with Peter Buck, whatever they call that, Astro Zombies or something.
I don't know if I've heard the actual music, but I have heard of the project.
Yeah, yeah. Peter Buck, you know, I think Harry Morgan died today. The guy that was, or he died recently.
Harry Morgan, who's that?
He was Colonel. He was the guy on MASH. And it was one of those things. Oh. Like, it was one of those guys like, he was alive? And it was like when they announced that REM had broken up, people were like, they were still together.
They were together. Yeah, totally. Yeah, that joke went around in my head many a time. So you're into music?
Yes.
What kind of music do you listen to? And we were talking about.
I only listen to the Young Fresh Fellows.
That's it. Yeah. We were talking a little bit off air before we started recording that you were a fan of the 90s era.
Yeah. Well, it's whatever music you listen to. You know, everybody has that period between 18 and 27 where your musical loves are sort of codified for the rest of your life.
Yeah, totally.
And I am true to that. Yeah. I listen to the stuff that I listened to then, you know, I listened to a lot of Elvis Costello. I listened to a lot of Tom Waits. I listened to a lot of Pixies. I listened to a lot of Frank Black. I listened to a lot of and Dylan. I grew up on Dylan because I have older brothers, so I have a good knowledge of the good stuff from that era. And then you listen to new stuff that is of that same flavor.
Right, you know, right, yeah. And there like seems indie. To be, I mean, it's making a, my dad was saying this to me the other day, he was always, he grew up in the 60s, and he was always a big fan of, like, Beatles and things like that. A little bit more mainstream, you know, style of music back then. And he was saying to me, you know, with bands that he's now finding out about, like Fleet Foxes from Seattle and bands of that nature.
How old
of
is
that
your dad?
Ilk. He is 62.
Yeah, perfect age.
Yeah. And so, you know, he's coming into this, you know, just finding out about all this music because we're predominantly a music podcast. And so we send I send my parents a bunch of music that we get emailed to us and stuff. And he's like, you know, I think that the music nowadays is better than when I was a kid. And I kind of argued with him about that because a lot of the music nowadays is getting their influence from then-a-days.
You can only be first once.
Right.
Yeah. One of the things that I miss is the sound of analog equipment.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a good argument to be made that Pro Tools is killing music because I like to hear the slides on the guitar.
Right.
And
right.
I like to hear a sense that I'm there and then it's organic and that they're
playing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And I like it when bands use old stuff, use old equipment.
Oh, yeah, totally. And especially like you were saying, in recording too.
Yeah.
Like that makes a huge, huge difference. Yeah. We had a band on here a little while back, Pickwick, who's been gaining a lot of popularity here in Seattle and around kind of the Northwest region. And they are currently in the process of recording down in Portland with a guy and they're using reel-to-reel.
Wow.
And
a TAC.
Yeah, dude. And I was really excited about that because they've got more of a, they've gone kind of the soulful route a little bit. And I think that's just going to, it's going to make it sound so warm and just, it's just going to be great.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, just add to that, their first two singles were released only on 7-inch. So, yeah. People are getting back into that kind of stuff.
I released my first CD, Funhouse Stand Up Records released a an LP version.
Oh, really?
And a limited edition 12 8-tracks.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah.
How many of those sold?
I think I gave them all to people. But you can get the album standuprecords.com or whatever their website is.
Nice,
it's pretty easy to remember.
Do you still have it on vinyl, too?
I have it on vinyl. Yeah, I love it. I love it on vinyl.
That's
cool. Look, I got a record. Because it's just there's something about it.
Right,
I got a record.
Well, it's nostalgic. And
what does it mean? So, like, not every comedian you know, not every comedian in those days had their own record. That was a deal. You know, you had to get a record deal.
Right. You know? Right.
It was
impressive. Yeah. And then tapes came out.
Yeah.
And everybody was, you know, you press record.
I remember my brother coming home from the army and he had George Carlin's FM and AM and Class Clown, Steve Martin's Let's Get Small, and a couple of Cheech and Chong albums.
Yeah.
And it was like, those people were like rock stars.
It's
They have records.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's great.
Do you think? Do you think comedy is kind of going that way again? It seems like it's made a bit of a shift because during...
Well, because of technology now, open micers have their own record.
Right, right, yeah.
I've done four sets. Here's my CD. but comedy, I think, like music, like the argument that your dad was making about music is because they have so much good stuff to look back on and learn from.
Right,
that
right.
They, you know, there's another comedy boom going on of really great comedians doing really great stuff. And, you know, there's really great scenes all over the country. There's a great scene in LA right now with a lot of new people that are really sharp and really funny. And really encouraging.
And what do you think?
I always feel more comfortable hanging out with those people, with the newer people.
Oh, yeah? Because they look up to you?
No, God. I just think that, Christ, no. But because it's exciting.
Yeah.
They're discovering stuff.
And, right, right.
Yeah.
Do you still get excited about your career?
Oh, yeah, sure. Very.
Yeah.
Every day. Or I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I guess, if it gets stale, then what are you doing it for, right?
Yeah, it got stale and I wrote on The Simpsons.
Is that's truth?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How was that experience, too?
And it was also tied to, like, just being a person.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted the change in my life. I'd been doing the same thing for 17 years. I'd kind of done it.
Right.
And I was still young. But because I'd started so early, I was still pretty young.
Uh-huh.
I was only, when I started working on it, I think I was 35, 36 years old.
What year was that you started on?
2000.
2000?
Yeah. Okay. So I thought, I'll do this for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a young man.
And so what was that experience like? Like going from being a stand-up, because you said earlier that The Simpsons was kind of your first writing gig, right?
Yeah, I'd had a couple of minor things. I'd written some things for myself, and I'd written on...
Sorry about the uncomfortable IKEA chairs, by the way.
Derek works at IKEA.
Oh, nice. it's your fault.
Derek.
Fucking Swedes.
Slot A. I had written some of that. I'd written for myself. I'd written on the Ben Stiller show. I'd written in some, but it was definitely a league apart of the stuff that I had been doing recently. I mean, you walk into The Simpsons and it's an impressive, there's a murderer's row of writers sitting around that table and
I can imagine
what you're fucking
doing. Yeah.
And you should know what you're doing. So it was impressive. It was intimidating.
And you were super
terrified.
Just terrified when going in there. Because, I mean, that is a brand.
That's a brand. Even you don't want to be the guy that screws it up.
Right, right.
That said, I remember the first joke I said that got in a script and got on an episode.
What was it?
It was an episode called Homer the Drudge.
Yeah.
Where Homer started the Matt Drudge-like website. And somehow...
I remember that one.
Somehow in the third act, he ended up on the island from The Prisoner. with Patrick McGoohan, and they were escaping, and like in The Prisoner, they sent those big balloons after Homer,
and he
just popped them with a hairpin, and then, and then they cut back to the two guards at the station, and the one guard said, why did you have balloons as a security device? And we spent an hour and a half trying to come up with an answer. And
I just
said, shut up. That's why. And that's what they used. And that's what stayed.
And that's a perfect Homerism, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Shut up. That's
yeah,
why.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. So do you do much when you go on to a project like that? Like you said, you've worked on Ben Stiller and things like that. You've got to do your research, right, before you go in?
Well, because you're writing for. I was pretty familiar with The Simpsons.
Well, that's an easy one.
Yeah,
that's an easy one.
But if you do other,
but you have to be familiar with an established character.
Right. Yeah, you got to know what you're doing, and you have to.
Does that make it more difficult?
It does, and you also have to leave your ego at the door. You're not there to write for other people. You're not there to write for yourself. You're there to write for the characters.
Right.
No one cares, and your words are not precious, and everything you write is going to get rewritten.
Right.
Every single thing you write. So.
Okay.
Don't be in love with your own writing.
Yeah, because
which is a great lesson for any writer.
Right, and I thought of that last night as I was watching like early episodes of 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're all sitting around the writers' table,
and just pitching ideas to each other and stuff like that and throwing things away.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, right.
You know, and have you seen the South Park documentary?
No.
6 days to air.
No.
You should see that. It's really, really interesting. And just fantastic. Watching them snowball ideas off of each other. And, you know, that show is...
That show's amazing.
It's amazing, and it's crazy how they do it.
Yes, because I know. I'm
familiar
with their process.
They're doing it once a week, man.
Yeah.
They're, like, actually writing the show every week.
Yeah. I don't know how those guys do it.
Which is insane.
It's really... really impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Trey Parker looks like he's just going to die soon. Like,
yeah, I've had
that's
got
to be so stressful.
I've had those weeks.
Yeah.
I've had those weeks where I'm just, I don't think I can do this.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah. So is that...
Sitting down in front of an empty computer screen knowing that you have to start writing a Simpsons script is a horrible feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
That first joke, writing that first joke is just, and until you get it, you're just dog shit.
Well, does being part of a team help out a little bit on that because you're bouncing ideas off of each other?
Yeah, I'm not part of a writing team. I was, you know, you leave the room and you have your notes and your own
line.
Then you go home by yourself and you start.
And you sit there.
And that's a terrible feeling.
I could never, there'd be no way.
Could.
I'd get,
you could. Yeah,
I,
you could.
Dude, I'd get fired. I'd get fired so fucking quick off of a job like that.
You'd get super fired.
I've got no.
You'd get super fired.
right, yeah.
Dude, I got super fired.
Yeah, burst it through the door and they'd say, Aaron, you're super fired.
Ultimate fired.
Yeah, yeah. There's no other level to this. You are the worst. But yeah, I mean, being a self-starter is not in my family tree.
Right. That's understandable.
Yeah.
Happens at the best of
us. Yeah, yeah. Except for, I guess, fake radio.
Yeah.
So what's coming up for you, man? Podcast wise?
When
can we expect to hear something on that?
It's probably will start in late January. Early February.
Cool.
And look for it. It's follow me on Twitter at Dana J. Gould or Facebook me.
Yeah.
Or go to my website, danagould.com.
Excellent. And we'll put some links.
Yeah,
to
no,
that
effect, this is going to be a good year. I'm very excited about it.
Good, good. And
and I'll be on Jimmy Kimmel January 18th.
Oh, nice. Nice. Excellent. I'll be looking for... Are you doing stand-up on that one or just as a guest?
No, I like to do stand-up. I could go... I like to do stand-up.
Yeah.
It's like, you want to come out and just... take, no, I want to do a set.
Yeah,
it's
what
I do.
Yeah.
George Carlin said, like, on The Tonight Show, he goes, I always do a set. He's dead. He said it in the past tense. I do a set.
It's kind of like R.E.M.
Wait, yeah, he died? R.E.M.
Yeah, no.
It's what I...
Not George Carlin.
Not George Carlin. It's what I do.
Yeah,
why wouldn't I stand up there? It's
right,
what I do.
Right. Does it still make you nervous? Going up on stage
Well, yeah, that is... I did Conan recently, and you know, you're backstage behind that curtain, and
yeah,
yeah, you're gonna be the only thing on TV in a minute.
God, that's gotta be nerve wracking.
Yeah, you gotta think of something else.
I always enjoy talking to comedians on this show because one, they're good talkers.
Yeah,
they're good at talking, and two, I'm always baffled at how you get up there without like a backing band. You know. Because like, that's something that I've always been terrified about is like, you take the guitar away, and you got nothing.
You got
a microphone.
I've had big rock stars say, I don't know how you get up there without a guitar.
Yeah, yeah, It's funny. You do a good job at it, man. And I'm a big fan, and I thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, my God, my pleasure.
Yeah, yeah, this has been a lot of fun chatting with you. And so you're playing tonight at Chop Suey,
Chop Suey,
Laugh Hole.
Tomorrow night at the International Film Festival Cinema.
Right, yeah.
The Uptown Theater in Seattle, doing a live riff on Plan 9 from Outer Space with some of the guys from Mystery Science Theater, Frank Conniff and Trace Ballou.
Yeah, how did that get put together? Because I was looking at that, and I was like, wait a minute. Was he part of the Mystery Science Theater 3000?
I'm very good friends with all of them.
Okay.
And have been since before Mystery Science Theater.
Gotcha.
I've known Joel for years.
Yeah.
And when I came up to do the show, People's Republic of Comedy, who are promoting the show, said, do you want to host a movie at the film festival? And I thought, yeah, you know, it'd be fun. Let's do Christmas of the Apes, and we'll do Planet of the Apes, and I'll host it. And And then they couldn't because Fox isn't releasing any prints because the DVD of the other one's coming out now and blah, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. And we ended up doing Plan 9 from Outer Space, which is like the golden fleece of bad movies.
Oh, yeah.
But they have never done it on Cinematic Titanic. So I called Joel and said, let's do this. This will be great. Yeah. And they wanted me to do it, and you guys should come. And he wanted to do it, but he's traveling right now with his family. So I got special dispensation to use the other guys.
Nice. Excellent, excellent. Yeah. Well, that's gonna be fun.
That'll be great.
Yeah. Hop in your, because this show is going live on Sunday. So hop in your hot tub time machines and go back and buy tickets for these shows.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, Dana Gould, thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. You can find us at air-raid.net. On iTunes, which we really enjoy getting your ratings and reviews, so please do that for us. Do us a solid there. We're going to go out today with the Young Evils once again. This song is called "Get Over It," and we will see you next week. Speaking of Conan O'Brien appearances, our guest next week, Alan Stone, who was just on the Conan show, will be joining us. So. Make sure you tune in for that. And we will see you next week. Have a good one. And all the people there were